Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Don't run off too far. When I'm saying yes, sir, I'm not trying to be impressive. I'm hearing. When I am in time of prayer and preparation yesterday and today, I'm always knowing and understanding that it's important that I come here and do what he wants. So it's always a pretty amazing to me how the Lord will go before a pastor, a teacher, and give them several weeks of notes for any particular subject, breaking down the Greek and giving commentaries and all kinds of other things, only to put it on a shelf. And I laid down last night late, and I knew what he wanted, but I thought, man, all of that preparation, it's there. Don't you want that? You gave it to me. But I love these times more than anything else. It's not that he doesn't give me some diagram or outline in the spirit of kind of where things are going, but these Holy Ghost services are going to be absolute necessary to take us in to where we've never been before. So it's not like having notes and everything laid out in a teaching in front of you is anything less. It'll serve its time, and that's what he said. I'll bring it back. I'll use it when I get ready. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. So when I'm saying yes, sir, he's reiterating the direction. You know, and if you don't know, I'm going to tell you and remind you, we are in an incredible war. An incredible war. If you don't understand, the part of the war is to blind the minds and the hearts of anybody that has any particular ability to do anything about it and keep them in a place where they don't recognize the war. When God went through a few weeks ago and revealed to me eight particular spirits, not an exhaustive list, but a particular directed list, that were making a resurgence into the church, and he named all those ones. And he went through them, and we presented that to you, and we taught a little bit on it at the conference in Dayton. But one of the things that he said particularly was to me was that the revivalist, it doesn't qualify for everybody, but if you are a revivalist, and only God can define you as such, and you'll know, that they have crossed a line from a battle of flesh to a battle of demons and devils. Now, there's a battle inside the church, and there's a battle at large in the earth. It's incredible. We're speeding very quickly towards the book of Revelation. We're not there yet, but we're speeding as a society, as a whole group of human beings towards the book of Revelation. And if you don't understand the hour in which you live in, and if you don't understand who you are, then the enemy will take advantage of you on a continual basis. Now, those spirits that were sent, their primary objective was to take away the confidence of praying saints, revivalists. When something approaches you that you're too embarrassed to even talk about, and yet you know that's not you, then you begin to deal with it in the pretense in which he presents it. And if you don't understand principalities and powers, they'll begin to convince you that you are not free, and that what all the different things, there was a number of things. Infirmity was one of those, spirit of infirmity. Now there are a lot of people going through some type of infirmity right now, and we've had the last couple of weeks incredible challenges on both sides of our family, hospitalization, different things. I mean, kids incredibly in the natural sick, but then there's long-term standing things, and there's the body of Christ at large, and not just this one, but others that are really seeking. You say, well, those are, listen, I understand that you can find COVID under a microscope. I understand that. I'm glad they can. Anything that's created in a laboratory could be diagnosed from a laboratory. Nevertheless, when those types of agencies are in the air, you don't think that spirits don't have power to push those things? Well, I just think it's all... He's very limited in power. He is limited in power. But he's a force. Go to the book of Revelation and read it. He causes all kinds. He causes fire. Not God. God will eventually. But the enemy, Satan, causes fire to come down from heaven. Images to speak. All kinds of lying signs and wonders. If you puff at him, he's nothing. He is nothing inside of God, you and God together. But if you don't understand that you have a formidable foe, then you're just, you're, to say the least, ignorant of his devices. Would not have you ignorant of his devices, Paul said. But we are in a war, an incredible war, spiritually and physically and in a whole lot of other different things. Don't lose ground and don't lose hope, saint. Keep going forward. Tell the devil to shut up. Stay in prayer. Stay in fasting. So you're going to run people off. I'll run everybody else. I don't care who I run off. You say, well, you're not, I don't care. It's really good when you don't care. Well, you shouldn't have that attitude. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about your saying you shouldn't do. I don't care. All I care about is helping you and I to take this word and go to the next step in God. Because your family depends upon it. Your children depend upon it. The earth depends upon it. This harvest depends on it. And I believe that I'm talking to people that care enough to stay in the Spirit and go on in and cause this thing to happen. Hallelujah. I really believe that. I believe you are wonderful. And you're the group that will do it. And you out there, you're the group that'll do it. A shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he restores my soul. But what is a shepherd over the sheep but a pastor? The word in the Hebrew is interchangeable, pastor, shepherd. So any good pastor will also look after the sheep in every way possible that he can. It's not just scripture that he quotes, although that's the primary objective or the primary thing that he's supposed to do, and then deliver the goods as in power. But to look over and to know what things are coming and what things are not coming and what things should be looked after is very, very important. So I can only tell you things as he begins to speak, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not an economist, and I'm not... I just stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night. You don't understand that commercial, but it's supposed to give me great... And I didn't. I stayed at home. Well, Elon Musk is not born again, but he's the second richest man in the world. And sometimes you know, I'd sit down. I don't care... who it was. See, there's tongue-talking Christians that are stupid. They're dumb. So you shouldn't use that word. I'm trying to get... Sometimes I'll say things to provoke you. To provoke your thoughts. There are non-born-again unbelieving people that know how to look at things, where they're going. You know, the word says that the righteous man or the wise man hideth himself. Now, this is a paraphrase from the evil that is coming. But the wicked or the unbelieving, or you might say the foolish, they enter into it. You know, nothing really should catch you. You shouldn't come to a place. You might have hitherto for, but you shouldn't come to a place where you say, man, this caught me. It caught me. I didn't know it was coming. These things, they catch me unaware. They shouldn't. Now, Florida will probably be one of the last because we have such a robust. But he predicts, oh, by the way, how many have you, well, maybe, you, I hope you're just reading your word and you never have time. But if I get my hours in, I'll look at other stuff. But you know there's a bunch of banks that have just went out. The Silicon Valley Bank, which is connected with a whole bunch of others. And then this past week, a number of other big banks. J.P. Morgan was buying out a bunch of other our bank, and they're just falling like dominoes. He said by the end of the year, though, he says, I'll tell you, I'm not an economist, but I'll tell you, the recession will only continue to gain ground and get worse. What does that mean to us? It means you're supposed to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. He said the home values will drop because, you know, everything that our government's doing now, you don't raise interest rates in recession. You just print more money, they think, which makes inflation go crazy. So he said it'll get worse. And this is not a prophetic prediction. This is a shepherd giving information. But I will say this. Excuse me. I will say this. This is not a time to borrow money. Especially on your house or those things. Because one of the things that he predicted, and in this, and if you'll follow the scale of what this, because this is a repeat, this has been done a number of times. But what will happen is in a recession, the value of your house will say, well, my house is worth $500, my property is worth $1 million. No, it won't be. Everything that you've got will maybe drop in half of the. So if you borrow on a $500,000 note or the value, and then when it drops down to $200,000, they'll want you to make up the difference of the value. And so you'll be, and so you say, why am I always getting these messes? You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be praying in the Spirit and looking into the future and saying, I don't just wake up in a new world every day. My world is coming to me by the wisdom and direction of the Holy Spirit. And if you say, well, I don't listen to those kind of guys. I just listen to the Holy Spirit. You're a fool. You're foolish. I'd sit down with a wise sinner that knew something before I would sit down with a foolish, I won't say that bad word again. Foolish praying in tongues person. Oh, praying in tongues, yes. Praying in tongues. I'd rather have an atheist pilot flying me, who was an ace in the military, than a slap happy kind of good pilot that prayed in tongues. I'd rather have an ace neurosurgeon operate on me who did not even believe there was a God, but was real, because my God, through my prayers, would go and assist him. Rather than have a doctor, they said, well, yeah, he's been sued a few times for malpractice, but he prays in tongues. I'll go with atheist. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Why is it that the people of God, present tense and present person included, always are reactionaries on the most part? It's usually, and this, and I'll preface this by saying it doesn't mean that there's sin, like real sin, or people are, because this happens sometimes, people that just are in good shape and whatever. But more than not, it's a stroke, a heart attack, life-threatening that causes people to come to a place and say, man, this is it. It's do or I gotta change my diet. I gotta start exercising. I gotta do something. I usually feel that people go someplace when I start talking about diet and exercise. Godliness is, bodily exercise is profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things. You got it, Paul. But he's saying the godliness in that, yes. In other words, bodily exercise, you running won't increase your faith. It won't increase spiritual things. But oh, you better believe that eating right and exercising has everything to do with the outward man. And if your outward man drops off, it's over. I don't care what you can do or what you know. Hallelujah. Why are we reactionaries? Why does it, well, we almost got a divorce. Now we understand that we need to start dating and courting and loving each other and being. That's not the time. Why? Because we're in a war. We are in a war. We're in a war for our planet, but we're in a war for Immokalee. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of people, not just Immokalee, this region, and those of you that are watching wherever you're at, we're in a spiritual war, and the Holy Spirit has said to us, there's all these other things in particular that's coming to try to get an advantage over us, to try to get an advantage over us. One of the advantages is not understanding the hour and how important it is for us to stay in a place. Now, listen, enjoy your life. I've never ever, now I can say this, I've never ever been more carefree. I've never enjoyed my life in so much peace, such incredible peace. Sleep so good. Don't have any aches and pains that really bother me. I mean, I'll work out sometimes and get my shoulder sore, and then I'll wonder why I did that, because I can't sleep. I'll toss and turn then. But peace is the prerequisite for health and all those kinds of things. But the enemy wants to circumvent and distract us. I'm not supposed to say too much. But Homer's in a war right now. An incredible war. And he's not the person I was talking about earlier. But you are. And you are, and you are, and you are, and you are. If you think, listen, I said I'm real healthy, but and I am, and I'm filled with peace. But if you're on this walk, if you think, well, I'm in a war, I'm on my own. All I can say is just welcome to the party. Welcome to the party. Some people say, well, I'm in a bigger war than anybody else. No, you're just bringing more attention to your war. Listen, that rabbit hole, Alice's rabbit hole, that rabbit hole goes a long ways. Get going down in that rabbit hole. Get more reclusive about this battle and that battle and that battle, and I'm going to go deep. Listen, expand who you are and stand up in these last days. Speak the word and say a lot of people are fighting. And my ouch probably is not any worse than a lot of people's ouch. Get rhino hide, tough skinned. Hallelujah. To be led by the Holy Spirit in these last days is the most important aspect. To pray and seek God, give yourself over, is the most important aspect. Parents, husbands, wives that are hurting this morning, in all different kinds of places. When the people who went to the shopping mall in Dallas yesterday, just 25 miles outside of Dallas, they were just there for a good time. Daughters were probably shopping. Kids were probably shopping. They never thought that a crazed man would ride by them. Now, what if your daughter is one of those ones? Those 9 victims that he shot, boom, 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 not even knowing he wasn't there when they were birthed. He didn't raise him up. He didn't get there, give her milk at night, or he wasn't there when that couple said, I do, that'll be separated now. They took 9 to the hospital. 2 of them died. They couldn't make it. 4 in critical condition. They're fighting. And even if you've got a doctor, we've got a doctor on the front row, but even if a doctor goes in there and surgically puts all those, you can't take a 223 and go through a man's body shot from an AR. You can't take a 223. Goes right through there. Breaks bones, muscles. Even if you repair them, they've got a problem for the rest of their life. 4 are doing okay. 9 are killed. You say, well, no, we just live our life. No way. But I don't even know if we'll get into scripture. You're gonna say this alive. Look it up after service. 198 mass shootings in America from January to May. What's today's date? The 7th, as of yesterday, 198 mass shootings in America so far this year, and we're only in the 5th month. I can't believe it, Pastor. Look it up. It's true. It's a fact. 198. You don't think we're in a war? We're in an incredible war. It's already begun. And the enemy wants to cause infirmity in our midst, distractions in our midst, any kind of thing that he possibly can to get us. Listen, you can talk about it. It's okay. But all the talk won't do anything. It's only a spiritual movement of God that's going to change anything. But then again, it's still going to continue to some degree. All I can say is this, that you better see, they don't have, these things are not happening in Chicago and LA just anymore. The 198 are spread out. Memphis, Nashville, Florida, Texas, good old homeboy places. It's a war. I told you a few weeks ago when Amber, I'll name her, it's okay, she doesn't care, she's not scared. She walked in that coffee shop and LaBelle looked over there and said, "My God!" She said it so loud that the guy put his guy 75, 80 years old looking at child porn. She said it was the worst you could look at possible. I got to watch myself. I got to keep going in. Why? Because my roots of the old days, when I wasn't scared of anybody or anything, I'd want to run over there, grab it and smash it, and then challenge everybody in the place. But then again, I wouldn't be able to prove what he was doing. Mr. DeSantis would put him in jail. You shouldn't hope somebody would go to jail. I hope he gets caught and goes to prison and gets born again, because he's on his way to hell. But why do you bring up stuff like that? Because here's the atmosphere that's fueling all that. It's fueling all those devils. It's fueling. It's an atmosphere. This generation hasn't seen a revival. Our kids can go online and look at the worst of porno, and it can fill their minds. Hallelujah, Jesus. The breakthrough against demonic powers, these demonic powers smother and cover the earth. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3, verse 3, I believe, and he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience. For the weapons, he started out, that's it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, or the Greek says, before God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we interpret that usually, and is rightfully so, but what Paul was doing then was, there was a division in the church, and the contextually in that chapter, there were those, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he tells you that he birthed that church. That church was his church. He's the one that started it. But it was a very, very immature church. There was factions and fighting and so many different things. And then there got to be those that were actually questioning Paul's authority. And he goes into all kinds of things that he talks about, saying, I speak foolishly. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. And he talks about speaking foolishly to just qualify himself once again as the pastor and the apostle of the church. But in chapter 10, he's addressing again a division there, and those that were raising up against him to say, in the first part of that chapter, he says, they say that he was saying that they say that, yeah, he's real, and I'm paraphrasing, he's real bold. He's real bold away from us in letter. But he's very contemptible face to face. He'll cower down. He's writing to answer that. He said, look, make no mistake about it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience, there's a readiness. I'm willing to address these people face to face. But your obedience to the things that I'm teaching and your submitting to it is so important to bring these people along in correction, really is what he's saying. But we talk about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We usually will think about, well, that's the word, the name of Jesus, and all of the keys that he's given to us, the prayer and fasting and all those kinds of things. And that's true. But usually we'll think about strongholds. Listen, we'll reach out and bring you in. If you've got a stronghold of a really naughty stronghold, we'll help you. But you can go out of here today, not in condemnation. You can go out of here repentful and say, okay, I'm going to be healed. But you can also understand this. If there's one of those strongholds in you that you're nurturing and you haven't gotten rid of by your own deliberateness, you're not a revivalist. You're not. So, and I say that helps me and it'll help you. You're not hindering me, but you're not helping me at all either. We're going to keep helping bring you along and get you out of that if you'll let us. But our message usually, I don't know if you've noticed over the last year or so, we're not standing up here on a normal basis trying to get people, the church, free from sin. That's a good one. Good message. It's an old one. It's got, in a good sense, it's always eternal. We can grow. Our growing up, present tense, he said, you've crossed a line, though the revivalists have crossed a line, and now, predominantly, it's not what they're looking at or watching or the lies that they used to tell or the exaggerations or all of the other things. Predominantly now, the strongholds exist in a realm of the last part of dying to the flesh and submitting yourself to no excuses of why you can't go all the way in. Give yourself over. Hallelujah. And it's to that bunch he's making an appeal and saying, well, yep, I know, Lord. So he just said this. The predominant stronghold of the revivalist is still doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. It's not lust. It's not naughty stuff. It's doubt and unbelief. Because doubt and unbelief, it's the only thing. It's the only thing that's really, that's the main thing, I should, not the only, the main thing that is standing between us and this fullness. I don't even have 5 minutes to argue with anybody about it. I got too much to do. I'm on a collision course. You are too. If they say, well, no, it's not going to take fasting and pray to break this. Again, show me the menu. Right? Show me the menu, because I want to order off your menu. Because evidently, the works that he did, you can do also on demand. Because he didn't have to go pray when they came to him. And here's those of you watching, because I'm speaking to the choir, but anybody that may be new, find, go into great research. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and find one person, just one person, that asked for healing that didn't get healed. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Now, he didn't heal everybody. He'd go through cities, and there was a lot of people that never came out. But anybody that ever came and said, "What's on the menu? What would you have me to do? Do you got any sight in there?" "Yeah, we've got sight here. It's sauteed in Holy Ghost anointing. It'll get your hearing back too. Are you a little bit?" Hallelujah. "No, Pastor, we haven't really gotten whitewashed enough." It's doubt and unbelief mainly. Peter's shadow healed people. Not his shadow. The presence of God in Peter at the close proximity healed people with two major strongholds in him. Two major. Look at the chronology of Acts. At that point, while the proximity of his shadow was healing people, he still didn't believe that Gentiles could be saved. I'd call that a major stronghold. And he believed also, go to Galatians, and you'll find out that was before, he believed in dietary laws. Those are two major strongholds. But he had stepped into something. He's wanting us to step into something. How do you get there? Keep going in. Keep going in to a place called done, as Pastor Dave used to say. Go to that place. Understand that the last one to fall is our... See, because there is such a... That word stronghold in the Greek is the word citadel or castle. Castle. There's such a castle inside of all of us by what we've seen and heard. And what we haven't seen or heard. The years and years and years of church not having seen great and notable miracles. But heaven's coming down, folks, and I'm not talking about the millennial reign. This reign of revival is coming. And it is now. It is now. Jesus, we worship you. Lift up your hands with me, would you please? We worship you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. Arakadasta tata. Harry and Robert, let's just worship the Lord a little bit. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Desta, to bring, it's okay. Can you come, Brian? Is it okay with you? Good. So we talked about this. You can stand right here. Facing me. Yeah, you're good. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. So, we talked a little bit about me having the opportunity to pray with you. So, I'm going to do that. And is that okay? Yeah, good. Thanks. And I'm going to kind of speak to some things, and then But I'm not necessarily talking to you. I'm just talking to all that stuff that's been trying to come against you. Okay, you come over here, please. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. So you'll stretch your faith this way, if you would, please. I'm giving them instruction, okay? Man, I like you, buddy. I really like you. I hope you come back. I'm going to put my hands on your shoulder, okay? Father, I thank you for my new friend. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that this will be a new beginning for him. A day of a new start. I speak in the name of Jesus to these devils that are tormenting. And I command you in the name of Jesus, I arrest you now. And I command you to come out of him and come off of him in the name of Jesus. You foul, tormenting spirits, right now, in the name of Jesus, come out of my friend now, by the name of Jesus, and torment him no more in the name of Jesus. Let the power of God now, in Jesus' name, by his Spirit and in the name of Jesus, be healed, Brian. Be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I release the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now look at me, son, for a second. How you feeling? Okay? Good. Just a handsome guy, you know that? So, have you received Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you asked Christ, Jesus, to come into your life and forgive you of your sins? You've done that? Wonderful. And you know he's in your heart? Wonderful. Okay. All right. That's good to know. Will you come back with her sometime? Okay, wonderful. All right. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I think you're going to feel different. Okay? Tell us when you feel different, okay? All right. Hallelujah. Something just happened, okay? Yes, it did. I did. Yes, it did. Hallelujah. Stand with me. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to come to be prayed for right now, if he's speaking specifically, like not just in a general sense, but specific, come up here and stand if he's telling you. Jesus. I'm going to pray through for the camera, those of you. Jesus. Carl, follow me over here. I'm going to pray for Stephen, and then we're going to pray over the camera. How you doing, buddy? Okay. All right. Which one is it? This one there. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of God and the miracle-working power that this eye is manifest in the healing virtue of Jesus. Be made whole, Stephen, in the name of Jesus. I command corrective sight into this eye. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Let this eye right now be opened up and receive the virtue of Christ. In Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name, be healed, Stephen. Be healed. Receive this virtue. By his stripes you're healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What's that meant? It's been operated on? Okay. Is it? Okay. Okay. good. Thanks for letting me pray. Thanks for letting me pray. Yeah, stay with me, girl. Hallelujah. What's going on, man? It's all right. Jesus. Jesus. Me hala hala hole ilina andela kalando kalindiki adidiata. Doli mendias kete let the fire of God. The glory right now in Jesus' name. Right now, Jesus. Release your power. You're not washed up. It's not over. In Jesus' name, virtue into these bones and virtue into this life. The power of God in the name of Jesus. Restore, restoration. In Jesus' name. Right now. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Kalama hora katata. Mendala harande ariske vala kraskale ni diende kresata. Dole mendidia la krastata. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Mokrese di diata la kresata. Mende kresata. Inadada, adada, adada, de 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 edidiata kato. Mensik idiate, come out of this thing. Be lifted up above the shadows, says the Spirit of the Lord. Stand in the place that I have placed you and judge nothing. Judge nothing by outward, as I have said, circumstance or feelings of the flesh. It's yours, Marty. Makarese diatata. Ne alaha akrada umma ma ma seke de diatata. Jesus. Yep. Still fighting that. Jesus. Jesus. Mikaraso. Mande e raha kata. All that congestion. Mende alokalasata. Jesus, I cast it out. I speak to these lungs and I command them in the name of Jesus to receive the power of God now. Be cleared now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Karaso karestete. Lungs be clear. Be cleared in the name of Jesus. Let me read this prophecy. Nobody has to move. Nobody has to do anything. Stay on the floor. Keep worshiping God. This was Wednesday night. He just told me to read it. First of all, you know this COVID stuff is right from hell. Bunch of my kids have been facing it lately. Oh my God. Well, none of them that are affected are here. So don't worry about the quarantine or all that stuff. But it affects in the natural your lungs. To even when you get completely past it, you can feel the effects of it for a long time. I haven't had that. But thank God for the grace. He said, our weapons are not carnal. This is what he said Wednesday night. You, if you get tired, you can sit, but you're in such good shape. 3 or 4 hours of standing shouldn't hurt you at all. For did I not say in my word and by my spirit that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, made up of carnal things? Reasonings, perceptions of the flesh, being able... Listen, okay. Let me get a little bit demonstrative here. Don't get out of the spirit. Pastor Bronk, just listen. On this warfare, you're going to be defeated, or you're not necessarily defeated, but you're going to live kind of disheartened if the war that surrounds you, that you don't just, if you take any of the emotions that are coming to you, if you're putting stock in that as if that's you, you've got to walk through all this stuff as it is a mirage. It's not real. This isn't real. The warfare, it is real, but it's not you. If you believe in the mirage, it'll become a fact, and then it'll become a truth to you. What was that thing Gary Carpenter did that? He did that research, and he found out that the imagination, I can't remember how. It was like a fully convinced imagination brain has on any given subject, if it has fully come to an imagery of where it sees it, that the brain really doesn't have a capacity to differentiate reality from fiction. In other words, once you begin to imagine something, it'll be just as real to you as something that truly exists. So the enemy is saying to you, thus saith the Lord, here we go. He's saying that the reality that is in front of you, or the seemingly reality in front of you, is real. God says it's a mirage and a symptom. Push right through it, says the Spirit of the Lord, by my word and by your commands. Do not hesitate or camp, or to say, Lord, what's wrong with me? Am I an outcast? Have I gone astray? The enemy of your soul, the one that is come to accuse the brethren, is standing in front of you and has sent his cohorts. Do not believe them. Do not believe the battle at hand. But stand up mighty. Declare who you are. Speak my word and declare that all things are possible to him or her that believes, says the Spirit of the Lord. Declare that you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you and gave himself for you. Declare that you have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Declare that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, that you will condemn. For did I not say, now I'm reading the prophecy, in my word and by my spirit, that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, made up of carnal things, reasonings, perceptions of the flesh, being able to understand things through the mind or through those things perceived even around you. But the weapons of your warfare are mighty through my spirit to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. For the enemy is stirred up against this place and against your determination to walk in. You better take this as intel behind enemy lines. But do not fear, little flock, for I have called you. And if I have called you, then I have exalted you to a place to rule and reign with me, not only in the eternities to come, but present tense. Did I not tell you to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? But this wisdom cannot come through a perception that comes by an outward senses. See, the devil's eating your lunch, a lot of you, because you're trying to fight this thing with pushing it off with the mind, pushing it off. Just tell him to shut up, and when it comes back, and if it comes back 1,000 times a day, just keep doing what you're doing and worship God. Keep working, keep praying, keep going. The enemy's a liar. But this wisdom cannot come through the perception that comes through the outward senses. Do not trust your outward senses. Do not put stock in feelings. emotions or reasonings of the mind. But I say unto you, judge all things by my spirit. Listen. Let peace, let your spiritual feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is the witness of peace inside of each one of you that follows me on this journey into the fullness of God. For humbling yourselves and denying the flesh or the mind, the opportunity to reason all things out will be to separate yourself moment by moment when necessary and step out of the fray and judge all things by the Spirit and say, Lord, I see only by your eyes, I hear only by your ears, and I will confess only by your mouth, says the Spirit of the Lord. For the church at large gropes blind in darkness. Although they say they can see, they live out of carnality, not just in the appetites of the flesh, but in the judgment of things around them, not seeing spiritual things or hearing by my Spirit. But denying the flesh is not just shutting down appetites of the flesh, but denying the flesh is not giving in any room for spiritual judgments. The flesh cannot sit on the court of spiritual judgment. It cannot sit on the place of the jury to make any decisions. All final authority and all final decisions come from my Spirit and out of my word, says the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm raising you up for this hour. Hear what the Spirit would say. Your weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They will exalt you. Mine is for you to walk in a constant peace, knowing that when you feel yourself wavering in peace and feeling the effects of the hour, that you're not ruling entirely at the moment out of the spirit man inside of you. Regroup, says the Spirit of the Lord. Continue to regroup. And you'll learn this place of constant, continual, and everlasting peace, says the Spirit of grace. And by this will be the which I'll bring forth a great outpouring with people who against the enemy will stir up his vengeance, but it will have no effect, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. One more time, guys, please. Today is day breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Continual breakthrough.
Jesus.
Now I'm going to ask Harry and Robert to sing that again and maybe just play for the next 5 minutes. And you can, I'm going to pray. You can consider yourself dismissed. If you're leaving, you can, of course, say hi to somebody as you're leaving. But, you know, let me tell you this. I can't dictate this, and I can't fabricate an atmosphere of revival, but I will tell you this: the closer we get to revival, the harder will be to leave the building. And sometimes just not rushing out too quick, because we have created through Holy Spirit reverence and worship an atmosphere, a presence. He's here. He'll follow you to the parking lot, but it'll change from your normal God is with you to it'll change from this to the normal whatever peace that you walk in, which I hope is good. But there's an extra helping of presence in the building. So sometimes it would behoove you, wisdom wise, not to rush out so quickly and to sit and get a little bit more soaking, however you want to say it. So sing a worship, please. And, hallelujah. And, once these guys are, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day.
Hallelujah.
If you need to file out, be blessed. Thank you. Those of you who are watching, you can sit and worship with us for the next, let's go at least till noon, guys. Thank you, Jesus.